Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the SFLC podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that's dependable-solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com. That's teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business. Making it affordable is theirs. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5 The Sports Hub and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com. Finally, we'd like to thank the UFC South Austin Gym, located at 9900 South Interstate 35 in Austin, Texas. Learn how you can get 3 free classes when you sign up and mention the SFLC podcast. Be sure to call them at 512-292-1900.
SFLC podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the SFLC podcast. I am Ryan Sprague here on this kind of gloomy Monday Chicago afternoon. It's definitely a little overcast outside, but you know what? We're not going to let the weather get us down because we are in the midst of fight week, and a massive fight week it is. Of course, you're going to hear a lot of content coming out with that Canelo Alvarez-Sergey Kovalev fight that's going on Saturday. But there's another huge fight card that's going on Saturday. UFC 244 returns back to Madison Square Garden, and a loaded fight card it is. Obviously, we have the BMF title going on between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. But one of the more exciting fights that we have coming up, we have Derek Lewis taking on Blago Ivanov in the main card. And we have obviously talked with Lou Giordano, who basically, at this rate, might as well be the co-host of my damn show. But because of that, we've been working with and talking about Derek Lewis, and now we have the privilege of having Derek Lewis's strength and conditioning coach up, which, yes, I know it sounds a little weird, Derek Lewis having a strength and conditioning coach, but joining us live via Skype from Texas, we have his strength and conditioning coach, Alyssa Cantu. Alyssa, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, Alyssa, you and I were talking a little bit off air and kind of getting into, you know, your background, how you ended up getting into this. But let's go ahead and chat. I mean, you've been a physical trainer. You've got your degree in kinesiology. You've been working with clients for some time now. So how did you go from having a client list and book that you have to now all of a sudden working with Derek Lewis for the last 3 months?
Yeah, definitely. So I also used to compete in MMA, still pretty active in jiu-jitsu. And back when I was training, I guess this was about 2012, 2011, there wasn't much training. There was CrossFit, and then there were people in garages flipping tires and doing sledgehammers. And that's kind of how I started. I was training for a fight, and I met somebody in Huntsville where I went to school. His name was Lance Schultz. And he just kind of took me under his wing and showed me how to do Olympic lifts, showed me how to do conditioning, and just, you know, pad conditioning, and to get ready for a fight. So I kind of just went from there and got hooked up with a fight team out in Houston. I met Crew Bob through 4Ounce, and I just kind of stayed with that relationship for a while as I competed. I ended up opening up my own gym, Grindhouse Fitness, with my partner, Dusty Gibson. And we never really had an intention to have an MMA side. It was really just more functional fitness. I've been personal training clients since I was 18. So I have your average Joe who's never worked out. And I've had, you know, elite level athletes, rugby players. But since I was also coaching kickboxing, my own fight team, I just kind of would bring them to my gym and run them through workouts and just kind of go from there. And then over the years, I just really kind of found my niche, and I've been doing it since. You know, Derek had surgery in March for his knee, and Bob had been coming to Grindhouse because he also had surgery on his knee. And so I was helping Bob with some rehab, prehab stuff, and Derek started coming around as well. I had just decided I wanted to do MMA, do jiu-jitsu next door at my location. So Derek kind of started hanging around, then decided he's ready for a fight, and Grindhouse was going to be the place he was going to be.
That's outstanding. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought up the idea of functional fitness, right? Because you were talking about CrossFit. I work with people who do CrossFit. I'm worried I'm going to wreck my joints doing CrossFit. And then, of course, you end up having the people flipping tires. You know, for a lot of people who were in sports growing up, there were really two perennial kind of lifting routines that existed. And that would be in the bigger, faster, stronger one, which was going through in my high school. But of course, my dad was a football coach for a very long time. So I would end up in my off season kind of working with his players and his team doing the Nebraska weightlifting program. So, you know, you have a lot of those core lifts. We have the hang cleans, you know, you have those push jerks and stuff like that. But when it comes to MMA, there's something completely different when it comes to strength and conditioning, because yes, you can end up having those hang cleans, those Olympic lifts that you were talking about, but there isn't much practical application outside of the lift, right? So now you're in MMA and you're working with fighters where it's like, yeah, they can probably hang clean 400 plus pounds, but what does that do when they're in the ring? They're not picking somebody up that way and then throwing them down, right? That's not how MMA works. So how did you transition from the practical, functional lifting that you were talking about and working with somebody who has to go into a ring and now do this against an opponent?
Yeah, definitely. I really do think I took kind of bits and pieces from different lifting programs, different conditioning programs. I really feel like MMA is one of the few sports where not only do I have to be fast, I have to be strong, I have to endure five rounds, but I also have to have short bursts of energy that's very sprint-like. We're literally hitting almost all the energy systems in one round of your cage fight. So a lot of it was just kind of trial and error for myself. I really wanted to create a program that mimics training. So we do a lot of things like I will flip a tire, or a lot of strongman movements like the heavy Atlas stones or the heavy med balls, like if I was to do a suplex, for example, or if I need to get up from the ground because I got knocked down and they're on top of me. So something like a Turkish getup. We also need to be powerful, right? So I needed to be able to do, you know, sledgehammers or moving forward, just different movements like that. I just kind of took bits and pieces and just kind of combined it and made it my own. And I didn't just kind of do it on the fly. Like, I'm also a competitor, so it was just like, oh, my conditioning was really bad that time. Like, let's change it up. Or, oh, man, I almost knocked this girl out. Like, okay, that was good. Let's keep that.
Okay. So when you're working with Derek, and don't take this the wrong way, but Derek is... Derek's probably right at 265 right now, right? It's fight week. He's, you know, getting ready to go back or go to New York City and kind of do the final touches for his weight loss, make sure that he doesn't get injured, you know, still kind of have his training so that he's ready to go on Saturday night. Alyssa, you're not exactly Derek's size, for lack of a better term. So what is it like working with somebody, you know, strength and conditioning coach who's literally looking quite literally down at you when you're talking to him?
I am all of 5'4 on a good day and like 135 pounds. I think I was more intimidated. I was like, what if he's going to look at me and be like, what is she going to bring to the table for me? Like, so I definitely feel like our first month was just trying to get his trust to be like, look, I promise I know what I'm doing. Like, just trust it. I know I have you doing some weird stuff you've never done before. But I don't know. Like, we just really clicked. He's a very quiet guy. I know you wouldn't think that based on his Instagram or his interviews, but he's a very quiet guy. He's a little bit shy. So a lot of times it was just me trying to start conversation while he would be doing his reps in silence. I'm like, so, car looks good today. Like, you know, just kind of starting random conversations. But we've made it this far. I honestly, this is the best I've ever seen him. I've never seen, if you don't know, Derek wears 22-ounce gloves during training. They're moving faster than 4-ounce gloves on a flyweight. Like, it's just crazy to see what kind of athlete he is.
So it'd be similar to him wearing 22-ounce gloves as opposed to, let's say, in track, right? You know, somebody who's getting ready to throw a 12-pound shot put is probably warming up with a 16-pound shot put. So it kind of makes the movements faster. So would you say that that's probably a correct way of looking at Derek?
Yeah, definitely. Also, probably for Bob's sake, who's holding the mitts, that's a really powerful man. Fist coming at you, so as much as it's conditioning Derek's shoulders and helping him, you know, build that speed, it's also probably saving Bob's hands, who has to be the receiver of those knockout punches every day.
Oh, absolutely. So when we talk about more in depth the strength and conditioning that goes into Derek Lewis, 265-pound guys, yeah, they move. I mean, we see them move quick. I mean, Jesus, look at an NFL lineman nowadays. But when you're looking at Derek, what is it that you're specifically targeting to try and make him faster? I mean, obviously we know how fast twitch muscles work, but how do you kind of gauge Derek and get him to a faster, lighter Derek than we're all used to seeing?
Yeah, definitely. Especially with the heavyweights, they have so much output, right? They're like, what am I trying to say? Their energy levels of output is so high. Like, they're throwing just knockout punch after knockout punch, and that drains you a lot. So my biggest focus with him was to be able to be very powerful, but also keep his cardio steady, and not just like sprint like and then feel gassed out. So one of the things that I really, really utilized in this camp was the Prowler, which is like a sled. So it has 4 different points to push. So we would do kind of a heavy sled push 50 feet down the turf, and then immediately you do like a minute on the bike, just trying to stay just trying to stay his heart rate consistently, I guess, if that makes sense. So we'd kind of push the Prowler, hop on the bike, get off, hit mitts with Bob, and just kind of check his heart rate levels there. And, I mean, we're this far down. I think his resting heart rate the other day was 47. I don't know if you know much about resting heart rates, but for a heavyweight athlete to be resting at 47 is really a big deal. Like, that's like marathon level.
Jesus.
Kind of to compare that. I have a few runners here at my gym, and, you know, their heart rates are around the 40s as well. So that's kind of how I kind of monitored some of that.
Gotcha. So the cardio actually now is legit cardio, as opposed to, you know, Derek Lewis having quote unquote all of the sex, which is always fun to hear. But as we kind of look through it,
that was all him.
Oh, absolutely. No. I get that. So as you go into fight week, you know, we know that you've been working a lot with Lou Giordano. I'm glad that he got me in touch with you for us to kind of talk. So did you and Lou kind of sit down and get a game plan? Because obviously the part of strength and conditioning is a massive part. But then there's also the refueling and the rehydration, but also not putting on too much weight. We want to make sure he is lighter than 265. He's not just hitting at 265. He's hitting under 265 by a few pounds.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's been great having Lou around here, because I know he's been, you know, he's worked with other fighters in other camps. And so, you know, he's been just a wealth of knowledge to kind of just pick from. But we've kind of worked it together in the sense of, if it was a heavy day for Derek, I would let him know so that he knew, like, hey, Derek's going to need a little more fuel or a little more carbohydrates. And also, Derek's been doing 2-a-days, so not only is he doing strength and conditioning, then he goes straight into MMA for another couple-hour session. So I would just kind of keep Lou in the loop as far as that goes. Like, hey, today's an agility day, so it's a little more cardio-based, not quite heavy. And that's just kind of how we paired up and have been working together the past month or so.
So I can see with Derek, I mean, obviously you say he's shy, but as we see him on camera, he's just this completely different person. But when he's working with you in the gym, and let's say that you've got him, I mean, on the dog days of 2-a-days, right? Is he ever bitching at some of the things that you're asking him to do?
Not quite. He hasn't been, he He's not much of a complainer. I have gotten some looks that's like, what the hell? Or even today was kind of funny. You know, we had our last workout this morning, and, you know, I forget that I'm, you know, in my mind, I'm also 6 foot, you know, and just as tall as him. But I had set one of the machines too light and too low. And so he did his first set and just kind of looked over at me and shook his head in disappointment. And I'm like, sorry, I'll fix it next round. But no, he's been really good. I mean, he's just, you know, literally bites down, does the work, and is ready for the next thing. It also helped his friend Larry Crow, who's also an MMA fighter, has been with us. So it's good, some friendly competition and some motivation to push him through these tough workouts. Especially in the last few weeks, we've really had to turn up the cardio.
Well, you mentioned him, and obviously as we go down the list, we could go a laundry list of UFC fighters who train in massive gyms, you know, Duke Rufus's gym, American Top Team, you know, and these are gyms that have UFC fighter after UFC fighter after UFC fighter. And it's kind of fun because we get to see UFC fighter spar with UFC fighter, which I've seen time and time again. Is it similar with Derek, or is it too hard to have that sparring with somebody who's 265 pounds?
It's a bit hard to find him some people to spar with. Larry Crow and Kenny, another MMA fighter here that's now local, they've been probably his two most training buddies, I would say. They're just similar in size and weight, but for the most part, I mean, that's about it.
Well, you said that today was the last training day, but we also know that Derek isn't going to fly out to New York and sit on his ass until Saturday or Friday for the weigh-ins.
So, not on my watch.
Yeah. So what do you do when you get yourself situated? Because I know you're going out to New York City. Lou's going to be out in New York City. What are you guys doing for those last days of preparation for Derek to make sure that he stays healthy? Nothing happens to take him that could potentially pull him from the card. But he still needs to be active. He still needs to train. He needs that cardio. What is your game plan for the upcoming stretch?
Definitely. Well, to take a quote from Connor, a lot of touch butt, to be honest. I don't know if you're familiar when he was fighting Diaz and he was doing a lot of movement work, but that's kind of what I call it. So it is just a lot of mobility stuff to keep his back loose, keep his joints mobile. We don't need to lift anything heavy. He doesn't need to cut. He's literally on weight already. So it's just going to be a lot of treadmill work, some mobility stuff with bands. I think I have a whole suitcase full of mobility things like lacrosse balls, stability pads, bands, different things like that. So also he'll just be hitting mitts a lot with Crew Bob. And that's kind of our game plan, is just to stay in kind of the schedule that we've been. We've been working out every morning. So we'll just get up, you know, when we can. Go get a good sweat, go hit some mitts, and then it's just recovering from there.
Now, will you be the same person that stays with him when he goes through that sauna, steam room, hot tub, cold dip mentality?
I'll let Lou handle that one.
Not so much, not in your wheelhouse, huh?
Probably not in my wheelhouse.
So this is your first time that you're actually going to be on stage. I hope I can say that. You're going to be walking out with Derek when he weighs in Friday morning. And Friday evening.
Yeah, I'm actually in the corner. I'll be in the corner with Derek this time around. So it's my first big UFC event. So I'm really excited. Just been enjoying the ride, honestly.
I actually can't wait to see this. I'm going to, you know, Saturday, I'm going to be flipping back and forth between, you know, that big boxing event that's going on with my boy Ryan Garcia. I'm excited to watch him fight. And then Derek Lewis fighting. I can't wait in between rounds to hear, you know, 135-pound 5'4 Alyssa trying to yell shit that Derek needs to do.
I just don't want to be that person that slips on the stool or something or leaves the stool in the cage and then they'll never bring me back.
Oh, no, it'd be great. Are you kidding? I think this is phenomenal. It might be groundbreaking for us, Alyssa. You might be the first female that's going to be cornering a 265-pound heavyweight in UFC on a pay-per-view.
I actually think you might be right. Yeah, now that I think about it, now I'm going to get nervous. Now I'm going to fall and forget the stool. Thanks. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, there, mission accomplished. So you're excited?
I'm really excited. I mean, I think I'm more there for the, as far as, you know, making sure his back doesn't lock up, making sure his knee feels good, things like that. But, you know, we have a really good general. Krubov has taken care of us all, so I'm just in line.
Well, you know, you bring that up, and I'm glad that you did, because we were about to let you go. But you're talking about his back locking up. You're talking about his knee tightening. You know, I've had two knee surgeries, and oh God, don't even get me started on how many times I've, like, you know, popped my knee or whatever. So you know that other fighters are going to have access to this information. So you know that that could be a potential advantage for his opponent. What do you do during training to make sure that that's strengthened, that it's not going to suffer any damage when he's there, or if there is already some damage there, because when you end up having, you know, surgery on your knee, yeah, there's scar tissue that builds up. We all know that's how it works. So what do you do to kind of protect him while he's training for the fight?
Yeah, definitely. It's common knowledge that he had a torn ACL for the past, I don't know how many fights. In my mind, it's kind of, this is the scary Derek Lewis. Like, everybody who fought him before that had the injured version of Derek Lewis. Now his knee is fixed. We've had zero back issues. We really hammered the core to make sure his core could support his back. We made sure his glutes were, you know, active so that his back wasn't taking all the work. Because having knee surgery as well, you know, your walk kind of changes. You limp a little bit, and then all of a sudden everything gets tight on the opposite end, and you're not sure why. So a lot of my focus was focusing on that mobility, focusing on his back strength, and making sure that that leg is better than it has ever been. And it really is. We were doing ladder drills and box jumps today, like, higher than he has been in I don't know how long. So I don't think it's much of an issue physically, but at the same time, it's going to be his first fight back since the surgery. And it's really just a matter of him feeling confident in that leg, trusting that it's stronger than it's ever been, trusting that his back is fine, and just keeping him loose, keeping him warm, and just, you know, confident, honestly.
All right, Alyssa, so we've talked about Derek, and we've talked about the game plan and all of his training, strength and conditioning, etc. But you also are still very versed in mixed martial arts. You were talking about jiu-jitsu and taekwondo. So knowing that you're working with Derek and knowing who Derek's opponent is, are you the kind of person that you're going to sit down, you're going to watch some of the film of Ivanov and see what you might actually see and ways that you can utilize strength and conditioning for him to attack those, by chance, holes or areas of opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. That was something, the minute we knew who the opponent was, we all sat down, we all watched film. We all had kind of a layout of his weaknesses, his strengths, and then that from there is where I started to build the strength and conditioning program. So we know he's a southpaw. We know Derek's probably going to knock him out because that's what Derek does. So I needed to make sure he was healthy. I needed to make sure that that leg that had surgery was moving where it needed to be. And I mean, from there, like, that's just kind of my area. Krubov is the magician as far as game plans go and his technical abilities. So I just made sure that his body was ready for war.
I'm again, like we said, we're going back to Saturday when you're going to be in the corner with him, and I'm just waiting for you to yell, overhand right, overhand right.
Punch him in the face, Derek.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Jeez, why didn't I think about that? If I just punch a guy in the face, he's going to fall. But no, you know, we also know that there's an art to this. It's called mixed martial arts for a reason. You have to set these up. You have to, you know, lure Ivanov in and you know, maybe carry a right a little low, you know, so that you're allowing a punch to come for you to counter that punch. And as you look at more and more fights, that's something that you're kind of thinking about. So was that something, if you don't mind answering, is that something that Derek was looking at? Like, hey, how can I take advantage of him? What tendencies does he have that I can manipulate?
Yeah, definitely. You know, going against a southpaw, you know, it looks a lot different. So I definitely know he's been, you know, focusing on reacting. You know, I think Ivanov tends to dip and throw that strong left hand. So I know that that's something for sure that we've addressed. I don't want to give away all of Derek's secrets because he's had some ninjas over here working with him. No, I'm just kidding. But it is, you know, it's just looking at what a southpaw looks like. You know, a lot of the guys tried to mimic that, you know, in the cage with him, and just, I know I keep going back to being confident in that leg, but you know, if they want to kind of kick that leg out or shoot on that leg, like, it's fine. Like, Derek has a tool for everything that's coming at him.
That's wonderful. So we're all excited to see what we can see from a lighter, faster, and potentially stronger Derek Lewis going up this Saturday night at UFC 244. But Alyssa, like we said, you know, this is your first UFC event. Are there anything, is Lou telling you certain places to go when you get out to New York City? Like restaurants you need to try, you know, scenes that you need to visit while you're out there?
Well, I'm just trying to not get kicked out when I see The Rock. I'm just kidding. I did hear that The Rock was supposed to be around there, so I'm going to try to not fangirl. I'm also a huge Nate Diaz fan, so I'm also just going to try to stay cool, you know? But yeah, I think Lou has a whole itinerary for me where he's like, I'm going to introduce you to this person, and we're going to go here. And so I'm really lucky that I got into the same camp as Lou, because he's, you know, kind of taking me under his wing. He's like, I'm going to show you all the cool things. It's really fun.
Oh, Alyssa, allow me to be, if you haven't figured it out yet, allow me to reiterate how important it is to stick by Lou. Just, Lou's got you on lockdown, especially going to his neck of the woods. Oh, you're going to be spoiled, girl.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I actually competed last weekend, and Lou brought me some rehydrating drinks, and I was like, come down there with me. Like, so it's awesome. Like, I'm really excited to have him as part of this camp.
Well, I'm glad that you get to be there, and I know that you don't want to fangirl out on The Rock, so here, let me give you a little bit of advice. This might kind of lessen it when you see him. Yes, he's presenting the baddest motherfucker belt, right, for the winner between Masvidal and Diaz. Uh-huh. If this will help at all to alleviate some of that pressure, just think of it this way. As cool as The Rock is, I love The Rock. He's awesome, right? The only person that should be presenting the baddest motherfucker award should be Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay. That's a valid argument.
All right. Well, Alyssa, it was a great chatting with you. Love having you on. Hopefully we'll be able to talk with you again soon after the fight, see what you're doing in your own MMA. Because again, yeah, you might be 135 pounds, but I also learned that some of those 135 pounders, yeah, they hit like a fucking truck. But no, it was great having you on. Thank you for taking the time with us. It was a pleasure.
No, thank you for having me.